right at the outset that the Brazos County Jail. And so one day I went over there, and they said I had to talk to the, I thought I could just walk in and speak to the prisoners. And so I went in, and they said, you'll have to talk to the sheriff, and he'll have to give you permission. They asked me if I had a card, identification card, and I told them no, I'd never been there before. And so they never did give me a card, but anyhow, I was to meet the sheriff the next week. So I went back the next week, and I told him that I wanted to know if I could come. And in fact, I said, God had put it in my heart to come here and to preach to the prisoners in this jail. And he listened to me real intently for a few seconds, and then he said, who sent you? And I said, well, the Lord. And he said, the Lord, that being God, is that right? And I said, yes, sir. And so he said, well, I'm sorry. He said, we have all the people we can have here. And I said, I don't know why. And that last statement I made was, I don't know why that God would have me go or put it in my heart to go here and then me come over here. And then I come over here, and then I wouldn't be able to get in. And so I left, and I remember I went out the servant's way out the back where they loaded stuff and brought stuff into the jail, foods and stuff like this. And I went, and I started walking across the grass to my car. And the sheriff came out the back door, and he said, would you come back? And I said, sure. So I went back up there. And he said, we have a guy that works our Saturday shift, and he's kind of peculiar to us. If he will let you come in his place or when he's on duty, then it'll be all right for you to come. And so I said, okay. He said, if you'll come here next Saturday, if you want to be prepared to preach, you can. But you can come next Saturday, and you can speak with him first. If he allows it, then you can go on in. If not, then he'll make that final judgment. So I came the following Saturday, I met Brother Rick Dowling. He's been here several times during Days of Refreshing in the past. He pastors a church in Caldwell. And so they don't come that often, but every once in a while they get to come. Anyhow, he was real stern-faced and everything, and he said, now, what do you want to do? And I said, well, God put it in my heart to come and preach to the prisoners here in this particular jail. And he said, who sent you? And I said, God. And he said, God? And he led me on for a good little bit, you know. Finally, he began to laugh, and he said, I love him too. And he said, "You can anytime I'm here, you can preach in this jail. So eventually, we began to preach to about 100 and anywhere from 100 to 185 prisoners, and then after the last year I was there, they asked me to go to the ladies' area and to speak to the ladies. Believe it or not, ladies, the ladies were the worst ones in the jail. They were the hardest to deal with. They would do very unruly things in the jail, especially if they thought they were going to embarrass you or whatever in those days. So Brother Rick was nervous about it, but he asked me if I felt that God would let me go to the women. And I said, sure, I'll go to anybody. If you open the door for me, I'll go in and preach to them. And so he did, and he told me, he said, now be aware. They liable to do things like undress or pull some of their clothing off or something to try to embarrass you or whatever. And so I said, okay. And he said, be sure that you tell me if they do that. If anybody does it, you make sure you let us know that happened. And so I went to the ladies, and not one time in a year or over a year did I have one incident that they didn't listen politely and take the literature that I gave them and responded in a positive way. The jail experience there was a great experience, not just for them hearing the gospel. It was a great experience for me because I'd never been in that scenario before. I believe the jail system there was probably as good as it should have been. In Texas, there was no air conditioning. They could smoke in the jails. I don't know how they stayed in the cans where they put a drunk into a drunk tank. I don't know how they bear that. I don't know how. But if you get punished, I guess that's the way to get punished. And anyhow, I went there for 4.5 years. In that same period of time, I went to the radio station there, and I preached there. I got permission to preach there. They picked the time. And that's very important because they picked the time where they would put me on the station. And, of course, I wanted a good time, but I didn't. And I found out later that this was a hard rock station. It was bad. The music they played was bad. And my pastor had to straighten me out. He said, that's a perfect scenario. And I said, what do you mean that's a perfect scenario? I mean, when they play a song leading into you starting to preach, that when they play a song, "Come Lie With Me." I don't know if that's a good introduction or not, but that's what they played. He said, "That's perfect, man." He said, "They're not going to take you off for 15 minutes. They're not going to change the station. Most of them are going to listen through that and laugh and have a good time at it. But all the time that's happening, God is putting something in them they can't get out." Amen. So he said, "You just come on there preaching, going like crazy, and go off the same way. Don't do all this howdy and it's good to see you and it's good to hear from you and all that stuff. Don't," he said, "don't mess with all that. Just come on preaching and go off preaching." And so I did for all those years. And God did some great things in my life. And he really changed my perspective about preaching and about things about God and things that God was trying to do. I had an attitude about those people that were drunks and whoremongers and all that stuff. I had an attitude about those people. And yet God said, "I love those people. If you'll give them the message, then I can work in their life. If you don't give them the message, then I can't." And so I probably was ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ in a lot of areas. And my verses that I used to begin the program was this verse here in verse 16. I'm going to read from verse 1 all the way through this, okay, because I want you to see some things. But verse 16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So I used that verse all those years. I used that verse as a springboard to get me into what I was going to speak about. And so this is very precious to me. I've preached this here, I'm sure, before. I don't remember when I did. I do not put down on paper. A lot of preachers will put down when they preached so-and-so and where it was that they preached it, so they don't duplicate that. But I believe I could preach this for every Sunday for 3 or 4 Sundays, and everybody wouldn't get all of it, amen, because I haven't gotten all of it after all these years. But listen to what it says. "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called," is very important, "to be an apostle, separated," notice he said servant, "called and separated unto the gospel of God, which he hath promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." We're moving in a direction of the day in which we would celebrate the resurrection. Somebody said, "Well, how important is that? That's not a very important thing. I mean, I know that's what Jesus did." Well, let me tell you something. If Jesus hadn't have done it, we wasn't going to get to do it. Amen. But because Jesus did it, we're going to get to do it. Now, that a lot of times in our finite thinking, we have to really have the bell rung several times for us to get that. But that means if you die and we bury and put you in the ground and the worms eat your flesh, one day you're going to come out of that grave and you're going to have a new body, and the worm, what they did, has no effect on whatever. I believe one of these days, brother, I'm going to get my finger back. Amen. Now, you can say what you want to. I know these guys are going around with one leg gone, one arm gone, and all that stuff like this. But I cannot tell you how many times that this finger has let me down because of that little piece on the end. Amen. And, I'm jealous or whatever. But anyhow, or spoiled baby or whatever because that finger's gone. But I'm telling you, I cannot get over the fact, day in and day out, how much I miss that little piece on the end of my finger. Amen. I could say something else, but I don't want to be a country like that, country hick like that. So he said here, "The resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom ye are also." Now he's talking about what his ministry was. Now he's saying it's yours too. You guys are responsible. And you're responsible, especially this morning, because I'm telling you that you're responsible. Not that I'm telling you, but the Word of God tells you. So he says here, "By whom ye are also the call of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, amen, you must have been from the South, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." I want to inject this. I thank God for this church. I thank God for the people in this church. Every one of you. We talked about this in Sunday school this morning, how important each individual is. Now, you can learn that through the teaching in Sunday school, but I'm telling you, it is important that you realize that you're a part of a bigger situation. Amen. And we're to all work together. Without unity, we can do nothing. And that's all over the world, you see things happen. Without unity, you can't do it. You can't make it. So he said here, throughout the whole world, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that, and what he's saying there is, I want to give you something to help you hang in the saddle. Okay? That's all he's saying. He's saying, I want to give you something. That's my desire this morning. That's my heartbeat this morning, to give you something that will get you going and keep you in the saddle, keep you doing what you're supposed to be doing. Okay? That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. Sometimes I think some of the churches was called ignorant. They had a church that was called ignorant because Paul mentions many times, I don't want you to be ignorant. The only time I had a response to me on the radio in the early days of preaching over there was, I preached on ignorance. And a woman called and said, I dare you call me ignorant. Well, ignorance is not an ugly word, okay? It's not a bad word. Ignorance means you don't know. No, nobody's been correct. You haven't had the facts before. So ignorant means you're ignorant of some truths. By the way, when you stand before God at the judgment, the things that you're ignorant of, you won't give an account for those things. The thing that you know, okay, you're going to give account for. Okay, so he said here, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor, both to the Greek and the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. The wise and the unwise is the saved and the lost. Okay, so we have a debt to pay to the lost world. Okay, and that's why we're going to talk about this morning. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Okay, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel unto you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Watch me now. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So if you look at the times he talks about the calling that we have, you talk about faith. You know, we talked about this morning. How can we do everything that's written in the Scriptures? How can we know that we're in the will of God? You just abide by and follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost of God. And I said this morning. I bought a sub sandwich in a restaurant coming home from Waco the other day. And I don't know if you know it or not, but when you had the Cokes mixed in the machine, they mix their water with a little bit of Coke. Okay, and I'm not a... I kind of cut back on Cokes when I read a deal about Coca-Cola washing their trucks with Coca-Cola mixed in their stuff to eat the dirt off of it. So anyhow, I kind of slowed down on the Coca-Cola. But when I got my sandwich and paid for it and everything, I paid for a Coke. And right there, they had the cups sitting there, all the cups sitting there, and the different sizes. And then you get your ice. But I wanted a Coke in the bottle. I didn't want the water mixed into it that they mix into it with these different locations. So there's a machine right there, too. So I went into the machine, opened the door, and got the Coke in the plastic bottle. I got it out, and I started out the door, and I started back to my truck. And the Holy Ghost said, you say, how do you know the Holy Ghost said it? Because the devil wouldn't have said it. He would have said, sneak on out and do it. You know, they never noticed it. Don't worry about a thing. But the Holy Ghost said, that Coke may have cost more than the other one did, because it was one of them big Cokes in the plastic. So I turn around and go back, and I tell the lady, I said, I may have made a mistake here. I said, I might owe you some more money. I said, you charged me for a Coke. And she pointed to those cups that are all in the line here, the different size cups. And I said, so I got me some ice. But I said, I went around there, and I got the Coke bottle in the regular Coke bottle. And she said, no, sir, we sell our Cokes rather there or here. She said, there's a lot of people don't like the mixture of the water and the Coke that we have in this machine. So it doesn't have anything to do. She said, we go by the Coke, the size of the Coke. Okay, so you paid for the size of the Coke. You did not pay for whichever. And so I went out the door, and I thought to myself, now why would God tell me, go and check with those people? Did you ever consider the fact that it's hard for God to get your attention? You ever think about that? So what he was doing was, he spoke to my heart. I mean, God spoke to my heart. Go back through my thinking, go back and make sure. And so it wasn't, had anything to do with the price of the Coke. It had to do with me hearing what he said and making sure that I didn't do something wrong. Amen. Now the devil will say, well, if the bonehead didn't charge you right, it's her fault, it ain't yours. She should have been watching what Coke you got. I mean, that's what the devil says to you. Okay? But the Holy Ghost is talking to me, and like I said, it didn't have anything to do with the Coke. It had to do with me hearing what God's said to my heart. Okay? And when you do that, and it aligns with the Word of God, that's God speaking to you. Somebody said, well, if I heard God speaking, well, I'm telling you, I'm doing the best I can. Amen. I mean, I know. But if I'm using this book, if I'm reading you what this book says, if I'm telling you what this book says, then it's God speaking to your heart. And you need to receive it as such. Okay? Now, the problem with the church today, what is the main problem? If I was to ask everybody in here, they'd probably everybody have a different answer to this question. But what's the problem with the church of our age? We live in the Laodicean age, right? We live in the complacent age. But what is the major problem with the church today in America? Let's just use America for an example. What's the major problem? I'll tell you what the major problem is. It's evangelization. It's evangelization. I mean, we're content in sending money to our missionaries. We have 14, 15, and the newsletters on the bulletin board and all that stuff. So we give to that so we can evangelize the world, right? But that's not exactly what God had intended for. He said, go and lo, I'll go with you. I'll be with you. No go, no lo. Amen. So God wants us to hear his voice when he tells us that you are to evangelize in your area where you're at and what you're doing. You are to leave the image of Jesus Christ and his cross and his burial and his resurrection in the life of these people. Now, what is the gospel? The gospel is the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay? The gospel is what? It's the word. It means good news. Good news. Jesus died for you, and Jesus was buried for you, and Jesus rose again for you, and he went to heaven for you, and he's coming back for you. Amen. If you're a child of God, okay, if you've been born of the Spirit of God. So, are we ashamed of the gospel? Are we ashamed of the good news? I said this. We was eating in a restaurant a while back, and I said, you know, a lot, especially Mexican restaurants, the Mexicans lead us off in the wrong all the time. But let me tell you something. What happened was they bring the chips and the dips, right? You know, this means yeah, and that means I don't know, you know, whatever. You know, amen. So they bring the chips and the dips. Well, me and my son got to talking about this the other day at his favorite Mexican restaurant. And when the chips and the dips came, they just ate. So where we got through eating and everything, I went with them. I did wrong, whatever. We got through, and I said, you mean to tell me that you don't bless the chips and the dips? And Stephen said, well, I never thought about it like that. I said, well, think about it. You could ask God to bless the food that you're going to take there that day, and it would cover all of it. But what you're doing, you're eating the chips and the dips before you ask God anything. Isn't this a blessing? This is enjoyable, isn't it? Ain't we having a good time? So we leave out blessing the chips and the dips. And so the lady brought the chips and the dips. You know, they got one woman that takes you to the seat, sets you down, asks you what you want to drink. She goes back. Another woman comes and brings the chips and the dips, and she goes back. And then a little while, the waitress comes. And she takes your order, and then she goes back. And so they had brought the water, and we were sitting there. And so the lady came and brought the chips and the dips. And so when she left, we bowed our heads to pray. And it might have been a little lengthy, I don't know, because I was asking God to help those people that were going through physical experiences like Randy up at Scott and White. And so we prayed, and when we got through, the little lady was back, and she was standing about two steps back. I heard her when she came up close, and then she backed away. And so my thoughts was this: if you were praying for your food, does that embarrass you if somebody sees you pray? Are you embarrassed to bow your head? You know, and sometimes we look around, you know, Father, praise the blessed food. Now, you can do like my son, Stephen, the great spiritual one in our family, who says this. I said to him one time, Stephen, I cannot understand one thing you're praying about over the food. He said, I wasn't talking to you. Amen. I would have whooped him, but anyhow, he was probably right. So the key is that, are we ashamed? Are you ashamed to talk to God in the front of people? Now, a while back, I don't mean this to be Barho show here, but I'm telling you this happened to me. A while back, I went to visit someone in the hospital. this person, as far as I know, is not a Christian. And when I got ready to go, after we talked a little bit, I got ready to go. I'm not going to force on them prayer or anything like this. So when I got ready to go, they asked me if I would pray for them. And most of the time when we're sick, that's what we want to do, right? Now, the Bible doesn't hear everybody's prayer, okay? It doesn't do that, okay? The Bible says that a Christian who is in sin, that he don't hear your prayer. Make sure you understand these things. So each in a constant way, we're to ask the Lord to continue to keep our life straight by asking Him to forgive us sin. Like if I jump on Miss Gloria about something. Amen. She wants me to park here. Well, it's closer, and I would have parked there, except she told me to, so I went on further down and parked, so I didn't have to listen to what she told me. Amen. Now, is that right? No, it's not right. Is it right for her to tell me where to park? No, it's not right. I mean, we follow the whole line of cars, and the taillights come on. My wife said, the taillights are on. I said, well, you think I'm blind? I see the taillights are on. It's okay. So she stirs me up, in different ways and, and everything. We have a time of that. But if you're going to pray, you got to have a clean heart. If you're going to pray, you got to have a clean heart. So this person's wife said, would you pray for him? And I said, yes. And so I never thought about it for a second. I never thought about it. I got on my knees beside the bed and prayed for him. And you know what that woman said? I never seen anybody get on their knees like that and pray. Well, you know what? You don't have to always be on your knees to pray. But I'm going to tell you something. If the Holy Ghost strikes you just so that you're talking to the God of creation of all the universe, the creator of your life and my life and all that. If that strikes you just right, I'm going to tell you what, I don't know anything better to do than get on your knees. But look where you were. Who cares? Who cares? Are you ashamed to pray and talk to your Heavenly Father who gave His Son so that you could have eternal life, so that you could live forever with God in a place He has prepared for them that love Him? Are you ashamed of that? Now, I know our kids are getting to the point. I mean, Stephen, I thank God for Stephen and Cheryl. They've been working down here. They've come 2 or 3 days a week and work down here, getting us ready for days of refreshing. But you ought to see our house. I want to tell them that house over there is not yours. They move pictures around, Amen. We come over there yesterday. Ed, we couldn't find nothing. They straightened up my books. I told Zelma. She was down here one day with like a banny rooster, and she was telling Gloria one day when he's not around, me and you'll go through them books and we'll straighten them out. I said, look, sister, you may have a lot of respect here, and that's true, and you say a lot of things, and that's true. You touch them books, you've come to the top. I don't care what it looks like to you. You go over there and look at my chair, and there's books all the way around my chair. Now, just keep your little pee-picking hands off of them and don't mess with me. And I told them, and don't even sit in my chair. Now, normally, I would have said, Ms. Zell, you will not sit down. But after she got cocky with me, Patrick, I said, don't even sit in my chair. Amen. And you ask her. She knows that's the truth. So a lot of times we're ashamed of the gospel. We're ashamed of God. We're ashamed of everything He does for us. Death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is nothing to be ashamed of. That's what Jesus did for you. That's what He did. If you've never been born again and you don't understand that, I'm going to tell you something. What you better do is you better ask God to reveal that, open up your heart so that you can have eternal salvation with Jesus Christ. As far as you're concerned, He didn't die for you unless you receive that for yourself. Those people that do not receive the gospel message of Jesus Christ will spend eternity in hell trying to pay the sin debt that God requires. Amen. And they'll never do it. So Paul here, in these precious verses, Paul does three things. The first thing he does, he declares that he's not ashamed. It's one thing to talk. Amen. Most Baptists can talk a good ball game. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. I was talking to the boys this morning and Christine this morning. Well, not Cody because he'd already gone to work. But I was talking to them on their way to church. And so Justin says to me, he said, Paul, can you give me an idea like how many songs we'll have to have prepared for Days of Refreshing? I said, 60 or 70. He said, what? It's only 5 days, Paul. I said, yeah, but I always have the best group to sing most and sing the hardest. And so you guys are it. And, oh, Paul, he said, don't say that. I said, under the power of God, under the inspiration of God, those whose hearts is right with God, those that want to glorify God, is the best ones to have. Those boys mean business. They're quitting their job. You say, boy, that's stupid. No, it ain't. They've already prayed about it, asked God about it. They're quitting their jobs to come down here and sing in Days of Refreshing. Now, you can say what you want to. You believe anything you want to. But your God is not nearly as big as theirs is. See, I knew I wouldn't get very few amens there. And I'm putting me in that same category. Now, they don't have a family to take care of and so on and so forth. And you can use that if you want to, but there's still a God in heaven. Ed McAbee's daddy died at the age of 50. Ed said, as far as I'm concerned, he was the greatest preacher I'd ever seen in my life. More faith than any one of them that I've read about. He said he'd get into the car on his visitation day to go to the hospital and stuff. He'd get into his car and his wife would say, honey, you know there's no gas in that car. Now, this is back in the 40s. There's no gas in that car. His name was Ed, too. Ed, you can't go. You can't. That car won't run without gas. He said, I've got to go visit so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And God will see to the rest of it. He'd get in his car and drive off down the road. Brother Ed said, I was with him one day when that thing was sucking out air into the carburetor trying to get some gas. He said he pulled into a service station and he filled it up. And he said, my mother had already said, Ed, you don't have a crying dime to your name. You say he's abusing the grace of God. No, he wasn't. He felt like he was on a mission for God. You know, we hear all the time, God will take care of the expenses and others get on in there. And half of them are not doing what he just did. He went in and got his gas. That's when you pumped your own. He got his own gas and everything. He went inside and he was going to talk to the man. Before he got to the guy that owned the store, a man walked up and said, Brother Ed, he said, I've been looking all over for you. I've been looking all over for you. He said, God told me yesterday to give you this money. He said he reached over and gave him the money. He said it paid for all the gas and gave him money for eating and stuff like that for that week. Now you say, wait a minute. No, don't give me that wait a minute stuff. That's a true story. Brother Harold Clayton will stand right here during Days of Refreshing. He'll be here on Thursday and Friday night. That man has more experiences like that than anybody I know that's alive today. He said one day his wife told him, she said, honey, we've gone about as long. And if you haven't read the book, From Pinto Beans to a Cadillac, I'll try to find you a copy. But it's good. It's about his life, him and his wife's life. She told him, Harold, we got to have some food in this house now. You got to do something. So he said, okay. They got in their 1947 Dodge, whatever he called it, that you could see the lines in the road through the floorboard. He said, we got in the car. We went down to the grocery store. He said, she got a basket, and I got a basket. And he told her, get what you need and get everything you need right now. Amen. I don't know if you know it or not, but the old grocery stores had a place in the corner somewhere, was elevated so they could watch everybody who was in the place. And there was people set up there that took care of the bills and all this stuff like this up there. So Brother Harold said, we just went down there, and I got some of this, and she got some of that. I got a little more of that, got a little of this, And he said, first thing you know, we had two baskets plumb full. And he said, Miss Clayton kept looking up at him. You lost your mind, Ed? I mean, not Ed, Harold. We don't have any money. He said, we got in line and we started moving up the line. And he said, she kept looking at me. When we get up there and they go ringing this stuff up, we don't have any money. What are we going to do? He said they started putting our stuff out there and started checking it, putting it in bags. He said in a few minutes this guy came from, he said, I saw that guy looking at us up there. He said he came out of that deal and walked right down there to us. Said he gave me, now this was years and years and years ago, gave me $200 bills. He said, Miss So-and-so down the road here, who I don't know, said to give this to Brother Harold Clayton. Said, paid for all the groceries. He said, we had some money, buddy. Amen. To do with. Now, you're saying, Brother Bill, that's just one illustration. No. What's wrong is the church has left their God. They're ashamed of the things of God. They're ashamed of what Jesus has done for you. Come on, man. If Jesus said it, it's true. If Jesus tells us to do it, it's true. And Paul declared, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What if God was to ask you to do something in the world's eyes that's goofy about the gospel message? What if God told you to do that? What would be the reason? I don't know the reason. I don't need to know the reason. You don't need to know the reason. God knows the reason. Heard about a preacher, old-time preacher, got saved, couldn't read. He went out in the woods so that he could practice the verses that he'd memorized, hearing them, so that he could learn to preach. And he preached in the woods. And somebody said, what are you doing out in the stinking woods? Nobody hears you. And I forgot which one it is, but one man that established one of the theological seminaries in the United States, when they used to mean something, was on a hunting trip and heard that old man preach. And he said, boy, God jerked a knot in my heart. And he started that seminary to teach preachers how to preach. Now, you can say what you want to. There's a God up there that's steering everything. He got the wheel in his hand. You ain't got nothing. You think you do, but you don't have nothing. It's him, it's all of him, or it's nothing. So Paul declared this. Once he was an enemy of the cross. What did he do? He was instrumental in people getting killed. He was instrumental. He held the coats of those that stoned Stephen. Let me tell you something. He never got over it. He never got over as Stephen was going down with a smile on his face, looking up, and he said, Lord, forgive. That's the only other guy did that. Jesus did it. Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Forgive those that are throwing rocks and killing you? Are you serious, Brother Billy? He knew the passion for lost people. He cared about lost people. Paul said, I could wish myself accursed from Christ. I could wish myself to go to hell for my people. How many times have you ever prayed that? What's wrong with the church? We're still, a lot of people in the church are enemies to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Once he was a persecutor, now he's a preacher. Amen. There's a lot of preachers out there preaching that love Jesus Christ has been in jail and everything in the world. Paul was in jail and led the Philippian jailer to Jesus Christ. You know how he did it? At midnight, after they'd been beaten and chained and all this in the lower parts of the jail, what happened? Well, I'll tell you what happened. This is barhoology. Paul said, Silas, Barnabas, if you will sing a special, I'll preach. Now, they've been beaten and they're in prison. And I believe he did. I believe he sung. They were singing and having a good time. And Paul was talking about the Lord Jesus and the blood that stained the old rugged cross. And the Bible says, I mean, the preacher said, the illustration I'm giving is that Jesus was looking over the portals of glory and got in, and he just couldn't help it. He went to the service itself. And when he got there, they had an earthquake. Amen. And the jail was destroyed. And they walked out. And the Philippian jailer come to Paul, and he got his sword out. He's going to kill himself. And Paul said, don't do yourself no harm. And the Philippian jailer got saved. And Miss Philippian jailer got saved. And all the little jailers got saved. 2 a.m., they're baptizing them people. Amen. Now, all that is Harold Clayton, okay? You do with it as you please. But once he was a persecutor, now he's a preacher. The Lord's love and tears and divine purpose should be in our hearts. And it was in his heart. He was not concerned about his old flesh. He was worried about the Philippian jailer. Amen. Political leaders he preached to, he talked to. In prisons, everywhere he went, he preached to him. Listen, let me tell you something. Me and Miss Gloria, not our children. I don't like it. My children was involved in this. Me and Miss Gloria and her family and her sister's husband, for years and years and years and years and years, this church knows who I'm talking about. They made fun of us because of what we believed, what we stood for. We could have a reunion on Sunday, but they won't be able to be here because they got to be in church. What's the big deal, Brother Billy? It's God's day. It's not my day. It's not your day. You're supposed to put God first. I didn't say that. The Bible said that. I won't be held accountable for not telling you that it's the Lord's day. Because I did tell you. But he persecuted us. Joe, you know it. He would say, we would walk up and he'd say, y'all put your cigarettes out the bar hose here. Me and Jimmy McMillan had rode on horses all over this country. We rode in the wasn't a rodeo. I didn't ride no rodeo. I got better sense than that. But we rode in the streets and come into Belton from Hewitt, Texas. We done. All. And he would drink whiskey out of a quart jar. Said he could get that aroma to come on up, you know. Yeah, as you drink that whiskey out of that quart jar. Never fell off his horse. I almost fell off my horse watching him do it. Amen. But you know what he did one day? He called. And he said, Billy, I need to talk to you. Because he can't tell me, you can't tell me, nobody else can tell me that he didn't respect us even though he did what he did. So he called one day and said, can I talk to you? And I said, when? He said, this morning. I said, well, we were standing in this little room back here, me and Miss Glory was. I said, come around the side of the church. There's a back door over here. You can come in there and we can talk. I'll hear what you have to say. He came in, him and his wife, his daughter. They sat down there in a chair, and he wept. Joe, tears run off his cheek. And he said, you know what I am. I said, but worse than that, Jimmy, God knows what you are. You don't have to apologize to me. You don't have to tell me nothing. You don't have to. It's him that you have to do with. And with tears dripping off his face, he said, I don't want that no more. I'm done with that junk. And these people know, after that, he came to this church regularly, even with help getting in this church, walking, until he died. We'd go visit him, stretched out in a chair, one of them chairs that leaned. I got one. Amen, that thing is next to heaven. And we'd come in the door, and you could see it down the hall. You could see his little living room there, and him in that chair. And he said, Brother Billy. He never called me Brother Billy. He said, Brother Billy, come pray for me. And I said, Jimmy, we're going to pray a little bit before we leave. Amen. Yes, all right. He said, I want you to pray to begin with. I said, well, you pray all the time. You told me the other day you talked about your mother. To Jesus about your mother. And you say you have fellowship with him out on the front porch every morning before daylight. You pray too, amen. He said, yeah, but I know God hears you. Get in here and pray. I'd get on my knees by his chair and pray, and we'd have sweet fellowship. Somebody said, well, you think he's in heaven? I sure do. You say, you can't turn over a new leaf. You wear the stem out. You can't turn over a new leaf. But you can put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, and he will birth you into the kingdom of God. And you won't be the same. You can't live like a devil and serve Jesus Christ. And that's what he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. So he declared that. And then, in the second point, Paul delighted in the power of the gospel. Now let me ask you something. There's Joe and Shorty there. They know about the family. Do you think that anybody, me or anybody else, could change his life? Did you know that his brothers abandoned him? They were drunks together in the joints. Do you know that Jimmy talked to him about the Lord? And do you know what they did? They quit coming. Do you know what his brother said after I preached Jimmy's funeral? He came to me and he said, let me tell you something. He said, I told my wife, don't you let Billy Barhol get up there and preach my funeral. All he talked about was God. All he talked about was the gospel. I don't want him to speak. And by the way, he said he went way too long. You know what it was? God's eating on his wagon. When conviction comes, you're thinking, never stop. And you better thank God in eternity that it didn't. Amen. Paul delighted in the power of the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. It says, what gospel did for and to me will do the same thing for you and to you. Amen. You know what most people are afraid of? They're afraid of what God might make them do. You know the happiest place on the face of the earth is in the will of God. I mean, I see some of you every once in a while and you're kind of weary. You can see it on your face. Got another wrinkle this morning. Dealing with the things of this life, we're going to have to deal with it until we go to be with Jesus. But the only peace and joy that you're ever going to have is when you just lay it on his lap and say, here it is. Here I am. Do with me as pleased in your sight. And there's sweet joy. Blessings of God come. And the assurance of God. I like that song a while ago. Man, it talks about we have the peace of knowing he will never, never, never leave us. What is never? It's a long time. And he said it three times in that song. The gospel did to and for me what no one else could do. It changed hatred in my life to love. It changed, listen to this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, them that are in Christ Jesus are a new creation. What does that mean? It means that from inside out, God changes your life. What about the sub sandwich thing? What about that? I would have never in 100 years went back in there for somebody that made a mistake in my favor and tell them people I wanted to make it up. But now here comes Jesus and tells me, go in there and tell her. Tell her you care and you're concerned. Amen. So what am I supposed to do? Lower my pride and go in there and just say it? That's the best thing I know to do. Amen. You and your wife arguing and fussing and fighting, just go ahead. It doesn't say who's at fault. Let's get over with this thing and get this thing back right so that our prayers will not be hindered. That's what the Bible says. Not only that, but 2 Corinthians, why do we have a new creation in Him? For 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 said, He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. When God looks down and He sees you, and you're under the blood, you want me to tell you what he sees on the other side? He sees King Jesus. That's the first thing you see. He don't see you, you old ugly thing, you. He don't see you. He sees through the blood of Jesus Christ. He sees the Savior of the world. And amen, I'm telling you, that's good stuff. Amen. Trying to get in the mood for Brother Harold. Lastly, in closing, and Paul was determined to share the gospel. There's where the problem is with the church. We had some people come from Florence because of an individual. Both of them are here this morning. And they visited our church. And I really believe they heard the gospel. And they were drawn to it. And because they did, we have a lot more people in our church today than we used to have. It's not because of good preaching. It's not because of anything. Good singing, good song leader. Boy, I got her down, ain't I? Hey, man. Now, y'all laugh at me, and you'll all be leading the singing next Sunday. Amen. I mean, really, what is it? It's the Word of God. I have determined with the Apostle Paul to share with somebody the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Not what's going to happen in the government, and I'm thankful for everything like it. The Bible, we're going to get into it. In our studies in Romans chapter 13, where are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to listen to God or we're supposed to listen to government? We're going to get into that study in Sunday school. What are you supposed to do? Well, we'll tell you. The Bible will tell you. We're determined to share. Could it be that God would use you to touch somebody's soul with the gospel who will live for Could it be? Yes, it could be. In fact, it is the command of God to go out and to propagate the gospel. To let them know that Jesus Christ cares. A preacher friend of mine was walking across the street in Waco, Texas. He's walking across and this nice-looking young man was walking with him. And he said, have you let Jesus come into your heart? And the young guy said, Jesus, who's Jesus? And the preacher said, you mean to tell me you don't know Jesus? He said, no, I don't. And so the preacher on the corner of a street in Waco, Texas, told that young man and gave that young man the gospel message. And he said he went away shaken. Doesn't say he got saved. He went away shaken. Until you get shaken about your sin, you won't do nothing about it. But when you get to the place where you recognize what it's all about, see, God is holy and righteous and pure, and He can't have any dealings with sin. It takes Jesus on the cross for Him to look through and see you down underneath there. Who put their faith in Jesus Christ. Sharing the gospel will fill your life with adventure. You don't believe it? Just try it. It'll also fill your life down here with the blessings of God. That's here now. In the future, if you've shared the gospel, you'll be rewarded accordingly in heaven. for all the ages to come. And I'm going to close with this. Now, really, you be honest with me now. You just be honest. Are you ashamed of the gospel? Are you ashamed of what you stand for? You know that the world as a whole hate what we're doing this morning? You know what I heard? A congressman, Democratic congressman, you know what she said this week? Oh, they got a sickness. They got a religious sickness. There's no hope for them. There's a mayor in Houston, Texas that wanted, of course, all that was squashed pretty quick. She wanted an outline of copies of what the preachers in that area would preach. You know what? Brother Mark lives down there. Brother Mark said, I'll give her a copy as long as she let me explain to her what it's about. I can see Mark now with one hand behind his back and one hand in his pocket, all them blood vessels sticking out like they're fixing a bust, telling her about the glory of God. But that's exactly what the Apostle Paul did. And the Apostle Paul says, listen to what it says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, and to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Would you stand with me? We're going to have a short invitation. Whatever God speaks to your heart, would you let Him have His way? Would you let God deal with you? Would He tell you about how you should deal with your Cokes and your sub sandwiches and your everyday walk with God, what He says and what He does? Are you sure you're right with the Lord? Everything is clean. Everything is pure. Everything is right. You don't have one thing that God didn't bring up in your thinking today that you need to take care of.